Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener, your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And we are in the growing season now. Things are growing fast. In fact, some things are going on. The grasshoppers hatched this week. So you folks in the Valley area, you know what this means. I mean, that to Paulden, to Skull Valley, to Prescott Valley, Cordis Junction, the ground can become, it looks like the ground is moving as pestilence called grasshoppers starts crawling across, eating everything in their path. Well, at first, they look innocent. They're just tiny little things, and you'll walk across the field and the weeds, and they kind of, it's almost like seed heads are coming off of the grass or the weeds. It's not. It's a little tiny fry stage grasshoppers. And so as they eat, they basically grow up to be monsters. I just saw this week in the garden center a 4-inch grasshopper. It was ginormous. Now, most of the hatchlings are very tiny yet. This is the perfect opportunity, especially if you've had issues out in the past with grasshoppers eating your stuff, or they get on the east-facing wall of your house and they just or barn and they just gather there by the hundreds. This is not good. They eat your stuff. I mean, they eat your vegetable, flower, tree, shrubs. They eat everything. They deserve to die. And there's one way to really do it effectively and organically. This is important if you've got kids and pets and you're just worried about the environment in general. There's a bait out that is basically, it looks like Wheaties. They've laced wheat with a virus that grasshoppers are deathly afraid of. The great thing about a virus is that it spreads throughout a population until it just affects everything in their path. Well, grasshoppers, this product, let me get it out of the way, is Nolo bait, N-O-L-O. Comes in a one-pound sack, a pound covers an acre. Usually I'll take a pack home myself and I'll spread around the outer edges of my property line. And then I'll save some in reserve so I can reapply in a month or so. Because typically we can have 1, 2, 3 hatchings of grasshoppers in our area. And that's why they can crescendo and get so bad. Well, on big acreage, especially things like ranches or I'd say acre and above, where you've got this wildland interface, or you've got wild properties where grasshoppers just start there and they start coming in at you. There's always this pressure to come and eat the gardens or take over the fields or get in the pastures or eat your vegetables. I would sprinkle the barbed wire fence line, the outer perimeters of my property line with Nolo bait. And I put it in little piles, mainly by the fence post or up where it can stay dry and just there tantalizing the grasshoppers. They'll come, they will be attracted to it. That's why you don't want to put baits inside of your garden, because they'll be drawn into the garden. If anything, you want to draw them out of the garden for this bait. So you want to pull them away on the outside of your gardens around your fence lines. Put it down there. They will actually eat it. And they don't die immediately. What happens is the virus gets within their stomach and they stop eating. It takes them several days to die. And so, but the thing with grasshoppers is if they happen to lay more eggs, those eggs they lay in the ground in your gardens are also infected with that virus, so they don't come back at you. And grasshoppers are cannibals. They will eat each other. When they find a dead comrade, they go, oh, there's a free meal. They start eating on each other. Sometimes you'll see several grasshoppers around a dead carcass. Well, that virus gets to the next, it just keeps pulsating waves through the population. That is the most effective way to affect grasshoppers. It only affects grasshoppers. If you have chickens, doesn't affect chickens. If it doesn't affect birds, doesn't affect dogs, just only the virus only affects grasshoppers and crickets. Those are the only two things. Very, very selective, very effective. And it keeps going. I've gotten up to a couple years effectiveness just by applying it at the right time. The problem most people have with Nolo bait is they wait too long. They just have, they'll wait until the grasshoppers are huge and they're being overrun, and it still works. It just takes so long to work that they think it doesn't work. It takes weeks to work instead of days. And so the secret is putting it out while the hatch is on. I would say now is the time. Now, by the end of June, put NOLO bait around your yard where you think you're going to have grasshoppers, and it will start to affect your property and those properties that connect or touch you, especially if you got a neighbor that never weeds. Oh my gosh, that's just a fire hazard and a grasshopper hazard. They should. Well, you can put some NOLO bait on the edge of that, and it'll at least affect the grasshopper and cricket populations. That's one thing that I've noticed just this week. Some other things that I'm doing, just my own garden. You know, my name's Ken. We're just friends, and we're talking on over the back fence. We're neighbors. Just to hear some things that are working for me, and I think it will work for you as well. I'm cutting back my bulbs. The daffodils, you know, they're a spring thing. They collapsed this week. They're about when the pansies collapse, the daffodils collapse. Well, they're ugly looking mangy things in the garden. They're bringing me down. So I went through and I just cut them off right at the base as low as I could. And I composted the leaves. So don't let things like that bring you down. My iris, I had the old spent flower stalk. I went through and I took the pruners and I cut back the flower stalk. Now there, I do like the green spiky leaves that come up, kind of very erect and stiff in the gardens. They look very handsome, very good. So I keep those. You do want to keep the foliage on your bulbs while they're green. You want to keep them up so that they can create the photosynthesis, because they're actually making the bulb for next spring now. And so the daffodil flowers for next spring, they're in the bulb right now. They're going to hibernate until next spring, and then they'll come up. That's the way they're going to work. Well, the foliage kind of died back, and so it's over. Get rid of the ugliness. Clean them up. The iris. The spent flower bulb does nothing for you. Spent flower, cut that flower stem off, but leave the foliage intact. The tulips, the same way. Hyacinth, crocus, all those guys. I think you can clean those up. Some things that are to come, lilies are coming up. Daylilies are really starting to look good. They're going to like the heat. These things love summer. So now's the time to plant a daylily. If you're going to add to your colors, they come in every color you can think of. Summer is the time that you want to plant a new perennial daylily. Your echinaceas, I would say as the flowers, mine just started blooming. They're a summer bloomer. They like summer. They wait until it's warm. Well, now's the time to plant a new echinacea or coneflower. But as that flower fades, what you can do is snip that thing off. It's called deadheading. You can cut it off, and now that plant will not focus on seed. Right now, they'll put all their energy into a spent flower and let it turn to seed, and all the energy will go to seed. Well, if you cut that old flower off, it won't be allowed to make seed. So it'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't make my seed. I won't be able to populate. I won't be able to reproduce. I better set a new flower. So you got to think like a flower sometimes. And that's how they're trying to get to the stage where they can make seed so they can spread like wildflowers throughout your gardens. Well, just deadhead them. I would say that with Gallardia, with Salvia, with all your perennials especially, those things that come back every year, keep them deadheaded, keep them fertilized. So I'm adding some flower power. It's liquid fertilizer to my flowers. As I clean them up, I give them some flower power, and they just pulsate waves of flowers throughout the growing season. It's just amazing. My Salvias or Meadow Sage, they're in full bloom, and they will be in bloom for the next probably month as they fade. Now, this is entire. I've got patches 10 by 10 by 10 and nothing but ankle-high purple flowers spread throughout the yard. They're just gorgeous. The hummingbirds love them. Just animals, nothing eats them. The dogs love to roll around in them, so they come out smelling like sage. It's just a great plant for the backyard, for our backyard. Probably would be for yours as well. But as that thing gets done blooming, I'll take the mower, the wet weed whacker, the hedger, and I'll just whack off all of those purple flowers. I'll fertilize them. They'll get done. I'll fertilize them about the time the monsoon season hits here in another 2-3 weeks. I'll go ahead and cut them back, fertilize them, and they will just come right back. They'll erupt with brand new purple flowers again. Oh, it's a good year. Colors are really starting to shine. Got a lot in store for you. Let's have Lisa come in the studio and answer your garden questions right after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our gold dust rosemary.
You're guaranteed to be the only gardener in the neighborhood with this new variety rosemary in gilded edges of gold.
Striking when spilling over raised beds and pots.
Loves the heat generated against driveways and bright courtyards.
Same zesty culinary delight in a colorful twist for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new culinary herbs, they love to shop. New to the area with your dream home on the inside, but surrounded by boring? A castle surrounded by rock is just so bland. But we can help.
At Waters, we have a team of plant experts ready to dress up and decorate even the most boring of landscapes with something fresh, new, and evergreen.
Plus, we deliver and plant for you.
Designer plants with the experts to help you beautify your new abode.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She brings your garden questions each week and just what's going on in the neighborhood. So you can learn from your neighbors quite often. So welcome to the studio, Lisa.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. This has been a busy week at the Lane Casa. We decided, we volunteered to watch the grandkids, at least two of them.
Right. So we've had the boys, Christopher, who's 8, and Josh is almost 5. For a week.
They're a delight.
Next time I offer to do that, just slap me.
you don't get any work done, that's for sure. You're working at like 50%. So they wake up and start talking, chattering, which is great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Tell me about this. What's going on in this? Why are you doing that? Where are you going? And it's nonstop until they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to watch. And they're like sponges. They can repeat. I swear one of them, the oldest, has got photographic memory or something.
One smart cookie, but they're wonderful boys. They're fun to have around. You just forget how much energy it takes to have children that age.
I can say that if you want to engage grandchildren, let's say 12 and under, 10 and under, something like mm-hmm. that, I bought some Indian arrowheads online. Okay, you can mm-hmm. get them. They're cheap. I mean, like 50 cents or they're like a dozen of them for... I think I got 36 of them for $20, something like that. Anyway, they're cheap in Grandpa's world. And I went out and I buried them in the yard. I didn't quite bury them. I got them where they're under the dirt, but they're seen from a... That kept them busy for days. They still go out every day and go look for more arrowheads. Uh-huh. It was such a success that I bought more.
Oh, my.
Now I'm going to put them in the front yard, the backyard. They'll just go outside and look for arrowheads. Get out of here. Go. You can just... Totally cheating. They're not real arrowheads. They're not ancient. They're just...
Oh, yeah.
People make these things. You mm-hmm. can get them online, eBay,
but they love
Amazon.
Them.
Oh, that was the greatest. They think they want to come back. Yeah. In fact, they were supposed to leave Wednesday. They decided...
Stay till
Saturday.
Yeah. So we've had them a while. The other thing that they found while they were out there looking for arrowheads is tons and tons of snail shells.
Oh, yeah.
Empty ones. But I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't even know we had snails.
I had put some bait out, so I'm sure there were a lot of them. They're starting to overtake the backyard. And I think that's part of having a pond and mm-hmm. irrigation and mature landscapes or just places for them to hang out. So that's I put that on people's radars.
Yeah.
The snails are out. If you're seeing holes in your leaves, it's probably not grasshoppers. It's almost assuredly snails and slugs because the grasshoppers just hatched this week. So that's mm-hmm. that's from previous damage. Anyway, enough about our kids and our gardens. What about the garden questions?
Sure. But you reminded me of something else I saw. A customer brought in a sample today of blister beetle. And it's kind of early for blister beetle. Wow, I was a little already? Surprised, yeah. But definitely blister beetle's kind of a gray beetle with little black spots all over it. They can also have like a, they can be striped. There's a few different kinds out there, but boy, they are voracious.
Was there a swarm of them? Who brought it in, and what was the symptom? Or
what was the symptom? A plant covered in bugs with no leaves on it.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Okay, that is the symptom, yeah. Swarms of bugs, they always arrive in dozens, if not hundreds. Mm-hmm. They fly in mass all at once, and they'll strip desert broom, Spanish brooms, ash I've seen them on. Just think they love mimosas, kind of desert
butterfly
willows.
Butterfly bush.
They'll get on anything, but they always, mm-hmm. they're very social. They do it all together, strip it clean. There won't be a leaf left, and then fly off and do it to the next thing. Mm-hmm. You never know where they're going to fly. Normally, they don't show up until later in the monsoon season, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea, but they're
be aware
out there. So
what to do? Spray them with the multi-purpose insect spray right away. Because if you wait till this afternoon or till tomorrow, the leaves will be gone. There won't be a leaf left in your tomato. Whatever it is, spray them with the multi-purpose insect spray, and they'll literally start dropping. Yeah. As you hit them, they'll start dropping. Also, be aware if you slap them, blister beetle, if you get any of their inner guts on you, just accidentally slap one in the back of your neck or something, mm-hmm. it will leave a welt.
Yeah.
If it gets in your horse hay.
Bad.
The horses eat them. It can kill the horse. So mm-hmm. this is dangerous. Not dangerous, but just
you don't want to just ignore them.
Yeah.
I would say you definitely, it's one you'd want to get rid of.
That's one too. If your neighbors are seeing this is early enough, they have another 4 months to get worse from here. They'll just gain momentum. Have whatever you're going to spray for them. If you think you might be, if you've ever seen or heard rumors of blister beetles, have your spray ready. Don't react. Come to the garden center, get your spray, be taught how to do it, then get the spray, then go back. And you want to have it in the garden shed or in the garage, ready to go now, because you want to react within minutes, not hours with the blister beetles.
Definitely.
Not to put the fear of bugs in you, but you should be afraid of blister beetles. They're bad.
They're kind of nasty. And I always tell people with the Waters multi-purpose spray, I always tell them it's a good one to have in your arsenal and just have it so you're ready, because it treats so many different varieties and types of insects. It's just a good one to have on hand because it does so much.
We have two on a shelf at all times. In fact, I've got a bottle of both in the backyard, a bottle of both in the front yard, because we're on a grade and I don't want to go uphill to go get the stuff.
Good
we have heavy gardens in the back. There's mm-hmm. vegetables and flowers in the back. The more smaller gardens are in the front, but that's where all the containers and stuff are. We always have triple action. That's an organic mm-hmm. neem oil-based contact spray. So if you got aphids, small things, thrip, small. So I sprayed triple action mm-hmm. on our Autumn Joy sedums. Uh-huh. They have aphids on them. I just sprayed them. They were gone instantly. The multi-purpose insect spray, that's for bigger things, grasshoppers, blister beetles, leaf hoppers, the really infestations, white flies, the really difficult ones to control. You break out the big guns, that's multi-purpose. The triple action might knock them back or make them drunk for a little bit, but it's not going to kill them or get rid of them. You need a better arsenal at that point. So triple action and multi-purpose insect spray.
Yeah, good ones. Okay. Our question, that was our public service announcements.
That was good. I didn't know that. I haven't seen them yet.
I was surprised to see it too, but they're out there. But Tim has a question. He has a beautiful red hot poker that's gotten quite large. He would like to divide it. He wants to know, can he do it now or is there a better time to do it?
There's a better time to do it, and it would be fall. Winter is your best time. So right now they're still in bloom. So I would say enjoy the flowers. Don't cut on it. It's very easy to take a shovel, shove it right in the middle of it, and divide it. It's got a very fibrous, large root mass. It could be a little difficult to do, but you can definitely do it. But your timing's going to be better when it's cooler. Right now they're actively growing. Let it grow. You'll put it in through so much damage, through much trauma.
Stress.
That it'd be better to wait till, I would say, November, December, January, February, somewhere in there. That's your best time to. And when you do transplant it, come in and talk to us. We'll tell you how to do that. You want to aerate or add some mulch to the new location. So you have some drainage because that's a drought-hardy plant. Mm-hmm. Then you want to water it in with Root and Grow when you're all done. That's a transplant shock thing, and that'll help it start rooting out. There's a little technique to it, but it's a bit early. Yeah. Wait before you divide your perennials yet.
Okay. Next question is from Mandy. She has fruit trees that actually have some fruit growing
Yay!
On them. But she wants to know, does she need to increase the frequency or the amount of watering while they're producing that fruit?
Okay, good.
And then she also wanted to know about fertilizing. Should she fertilize?
Yeah, so thin the fruits is the main thing right now. If you have a lot of fruits, they'll come in clusters like cherries, not so much cherries, peaches, apricots, nectarines, apples, pears. They come in these clusters of 3, 4, 5s. And there's not enough oomph from the root level to fertilize, to make all that fruit. So you generally want to thumb prune those off down to one or two of the strongest fruits. You'll look at a cluster of 5 apples, pears, peaches, whatever, you'll see 2 or 3 of them are obviously weaker. They're smaller. Pick those off. Don't put any energy into those, and all that extra sap and water and stuff will go into the remaining fruits. So that's how you get a big, juicy apple. That's one thing. Second, I would say not a lot of reason to fertilize right now, but the water is so important when they've got fruit on them. If the plant gets dry, it will rot. It will the core of the plant will not become dry. It will either take it from the root level or it will take it from the fruits. The roots are the fruits. If you let that tree get dry, you'll sacrifice your fruit. So keep it moisture. I'd say water, deep water it once a week. That's good enough and good to go. So there you go. How to treat fruit trees in your yard. Be right back with more with Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners.
You're listening to Ken Lane, aka the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Hi, Lisa here with the plants of the week and our dwarf blue plumbago.
If you can't grow blue plumbago, it's time to move to the city.
This perennial ground cover is quick to spread and puts up with a lot of abuse from dry soil to neglect.
The peacock blue flowers are held wide and very prominent against the small bronzy green foliage.
Grows in any kind of garden, all for $11.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love easy perennials, they love to shop.
Gee, my flowers just bloom too much.
Said no one, ever. Hi, this is Kenneth Waters. We had a crazy winter and everyone's ready for flowers in the garden.
Waters Flower Power is made specifically for Arizona that gives flowers that extra boost to burst into bloom.
It's an energy kick in the plants.
Get ready for roses that rule, peppers that pop, and tomatoes that triumph.
More power to the flowers with Flower Power at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with 2 T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
Another tidbit that can really help you, especially if you're folks in brand new houses, okay, it's a while before you're landscape becomes mature enough. But those of us that have more mature, like Lisa and I, we've been in our house 15 years. The landscapes are mature. We're always adding some things. We decorate pots and we're keeping things. Mainly it's a maintenance thing. Don't let things weed and spread out where we don't want it. And then keep the trees and shrubs down to a size that is proportionate to our landscape. So this week, what I did is I summer pruned. Now, a lot of you have not heard of summer pruning. But if you've got a fruit tree up against the fence line, let's say you're in Prescott Valley, these smaller lots, Kingman, you're in these small lots where you've got this beautiful orchard thing going on in the backyard. Well, you don't want 20, 30-foot trees. You want them to be in that high teen, middle teens. That's a good size. You can easily get to them and pick the fruits. It doesn't get above the fence line, above the roof line, really, when it gets out of proportion. Doesn't overhang into the neighbor's yard. Well, summer pruning is the secret to keeping plants smaller. That, and I just got done pruning my forsythias and lilac. So those things that bloom in the spring. You let them bloom, then you prune them back late spring, early summer. Well, now's the time. Then they will start to push more foliage, take on their shape, and then set next spring's flowers starting in the fall. So you want to prune back after they're done blooming. If you prune back the spring bloomers when you're pruning back everything else in the winter, January, February, March, if you prune back your lilacs and forsythia and quince and rhododendrons and azaleas, all these spring bloomers, well, you're cutting back the flowers. You're cutting off the flowers. The secret is pruning them just after they're done blooming, but before they start setting their buds for next year. Well, now is that time. So if you've got an overgrown, is way too tall lilac, I mean, they can go up to 12, 15 feet by themselves if left unchecked. Well, I pruned mine back. It's shading my office, my downstairs office, home office. I kept it back to where it's to size. It does its job, and then it doesn't get overgrown. It gets almost too thick where you feel like it's dangerous to go into that part of the yard. There could be snakes or gremlins or who knows, wild gnomes that come out and stab your ankles if you let it get too wild. Clean it up. Now's the time. The secret with summer pruning of fruit trees. Now, I just pruned back my peaches that were grown in pots. I've got containers. It cannot grow up to 20 feet tall. The container won't handle that. It'll blow over in the wind. It just looks out of proportion. It would look odd. I've picked the peaches. They're done. Then I went through and all that new growth, all the sucker growth, all that you can tell where you pruned back last year, last winter, it's got 2-3 feet worth of growth. I cut that back strategically, and it's okay to do that. The book says you can prune back up to 10% of the foliage mass whenever you want. Well, that's giving it a haircut. Well, now's the time to really keep that thing in check. And I don't think we teach summer pruning enough. I think that's what allows us to have larger, more heavier producing fruit trees, grapes, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. I think we can have more of those in our backyard and really have a harvest. But we need to prune back in the summer to keep them in check. After the fruit has been picked, then you go ahead and cut them back. So I would say, really, that's a theme I just came up with in my head. When they're done fruiting or flowering, spring flowering plants, when they're done blooming, cut them back. When your fruit trees are done fruiting, cut them back. Get them back under control down to size. Your heavy pruning is done in the winter, when you're shaping and getting the scaffolding just right. So when it loads up with fruit, it balances the weight within the structure better, and you can add light into the center. You're not doing all that work. You're just giving it a haircut. The suckers that grew out. Then I would say, when you're all done, fertilize it. In fact, anything that is stressed right now, anything that isn't leafy, it's yellow, it's wispy, it got damaged last winter with all that snow we had, things that you can tell when they're stressed out. They just don't look like the neighbor's trees. Give them right now ASAP humic, H-U-M-I-C, humic. Give them that. That's a humic acid. It comes in a bag, 20-pound bag. It's very inexpensive. You spread it. It looks kind of like chocolate or mocha beans or something. Spread it around. It will help the plant force new roots. Before the monsoon hits, I would say by July 4th, go ahead and fertilize those plants as well, especially things that are stressed. You want to fertilize everything before the monsoon hits, but you really want to get that humic down before that. Get it where it's rooting right away. So put the humic on right now and put the all-purpose plant food, the 744 fertilizer down before the monsoons. That the cottonseed meal and that is the main ingredient, and it just helps plants green up, set a whole nother set of flowers or buds, especially things like crepe myrtles, Rosa Sharon's. It's going to be a game changer. It'll really be. You can tell those that fertilized and those that didn't. Those are two bits of advice I can give you now. I guess three: summer pruning, humic for stressed things, and fertilize before the monsoons. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our gold dust rosemary.
You're guaranteed to be the only gardener in the neighborhood with this new variety rosemary in gilded edges of gold.
Striking when spilling over raised beds and pots.
loves the heat generated against driveways and bright courtyards.
The same zesty culinary delight in a colorful twist for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new culinary herbs, they love to shop.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we have Lisa Waters Lane back in the studio. She's my favorite guest. Actually, you're my only guest, usually, just because so many guests are hard to pin down date-wise, time-wise, and get them on the air. And it's always there. You never know what kind of quality you're going to have, whether they're going to stutter. You, I just know what I'm going to get. Just
you know what you're going to get.
Put her in the hot seat. And
I might stutter.
Share stuff that is interesting.
Well, I try. Can't guarantee it.
I like being in small rooms with you that are soundproof and with
that's not microphones.
Anyway, so what do you got for? Oh, we should share the news. You want to tell everyone? My Father's Day gift you got me was, I know you got it for you, but basically I'm taking credit for it.
Oh, good. You should do that. We got a new little puppy. A lot of our listeners may know we lost our little Scottish Terrier back in January.
Yep.
And we kind of wanted to wait because spring here is crazy busy and who has time for a puppy? But we just got a puppy last week.
Yeah.
Saturday. Saturday last week.
Saturday night. Yeah. Literally Father's Day. We had a little miniature schnauzer puppy, 10 weeks old. Her name is Callie Ann.
Yeah. And she is adorable. I have to say, she truly is adorable. People see her and they just go, oh.
I got to tell you, I was on DJ Phone's radio shop station. He's a local radio host, DJ. We're in the studio across town. I was responsible. You took the grandkids swimming. I was responsible for the
puppy dog. Yes.
And if anything happens, I mean, I might as well just leave and move to like Venezuela. I mean, I'd be better off.
Well, okay, yeah.
So anyway, I took her in her carrier to the station with my flowers. We're going to talk, you know, grapes for grades, garden classes coming up, and then plant tips.
Right.
An hour program with a guest. And so I'm taking my puppy into the studio, and I kind of knew the studio, they're all dog lovers.
Yeah.
So I took her out, got through the gauntlet of the front door, rang the bell, got to the back, you know, where all the secret rooms are for studios, and then opened up the crate and go, here's a new friend. This is Callie Ann. And the entire studio emptied out and said, she even smells like puppy. Ten weeks old. She smells X.
Still got that new puppy smell about her. Yeah.
When the studio, she jumped out of her crate immediately, started chewing on like microphone cords, then went to sleep, jumped back in her crate and slept through the whole hour program. I don't know. Total puppy.
Right, right. No, she is adorable. She is truly the smallest dog I've ever owned.
Yeah.
I walk around the house going, where is she? I don't want to step on her. Where is she at? Because she's very quiet, too. But cute. She's learning how to get along with Vincent. Vincent's not sure about the whole thing yet.
Yeah. It's a 70-pound dog with a 5-pound dog. It's just like there's disproportionate.
But he'll get along. He's a very nice dog, very gentle dog, but he's just not sure what to do.
You'll see both of them at the garden center quite often, so we will train Callie Ann to come in and greet customers. We'll get her a little vest when she grows into one. She's not even big enough to have nothing. Collars, nothing. So
it's kind of crazy.
But we'll train. You'll see her here periodically as she matures. Vincent, you see pretty often anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the news. The big news at the Lane House. Very
she's
fun.
Cute.
Thank you for my Father's Day gift.
One of them. You got another one, too.
I did. I got from Van Gogh's Ear.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful desk. Not desk. Table. This thing's a piece of art. It's like ancient wood that someone resurrected from the dark and brought it up and polished it. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I have it in front of my office.
I found the paperwork on you. By the way.
I want to have it.
But it is beautiful.
Piece of art. It's not furniture. It's a piece of art.
Yeah. Very nicely done. But, okay, so our topic this week, because I know you're going to ask me that next. So, in my office, I have a window that faces the parking lot.
Yep. Well, right in beautiful view.
Well, it's kind of interesting what you see out there sometimes. But right now, we have a lot of our roses out there.
Yeah.
And I kept seeing this one rose, this beautiful kind of orangey red rose. And I'm like, okay, I got to go see what that rose is because it is just so dynamic and so bright. So I went out to go see what it was, and it's called Smokin' Hot.
Oh.
Really pretty, kind of orangey, bright orangey red. And boy, does it sure stand out.
It is.
But while I was out there, I was going, by golly, we have a lot of nice roses left. And the roses have done so well this year. They're just, I guess the temperatures and the weathers have been great for them. Sometimes by this time of year, they can look a little, but they're gorgeous this year.
They bloom nonstop. I mean, all the roses we have, except for a couple, there's some old-fashioned ones that we got to carry. You know, Lady Banks.
Yeah.
It's a tombstone rose. It's famous locally. It's thornless, evergreen, but it only blooms once in the spring. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that I can think of that only blooms once. Rest
Caesar
of them,
Bruner?
they're endless. They're like waves of continual bloomers or repeat bloomers.
Right.
Bloom with this huge flush of growth and then take a rest. Mm-hmm. Then bloom with some more. And they'll always have some flowers, but they put on these big flushes of growth several times of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's a repeat blooming rose.
Right.
Actually, most roses are like that.
And they do so well here in our climate. They really, really do. With the amount of sun that we get and the heat, they just flourish here.
They're a summer lover. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing blooms or shows as much color as a rose. I mean, lilacs are great in the spring, but then they're kind of just this big green shrub. Forsythia are great in the spring, but then they're just like this big shrub. Rosa Sharon's stunning, but it's been green, 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 green. It will be blooming here in just a moment, and then it will be green again, and then it will fall colors gold.
Right.
It just doesn't have that same repeat blooming color nonstop.
Yeah. So I walked around out there, and I took a note of some of the ones that really caught my eye because they're unique and different. So there's one out there called Life of the Party. It's a Floribunda rose, so it does blooms in clusters. And it almost reminded me of a Joseph's coat where it has the multiple colors, the pink, the yellow. But the flowers on it were much bigger than a Joseph coat get, more fuller as well. But just really, really pretty, kind of a cream to peach to pink to yellow. New one.
And in bloom. So it's out there.
Full bloom. You know,
Floribundas remind me of like fireworks.
Yeah.
It's a long stem rose, but instead of one rose on the end, one big rose, it has a firework rose, just kind of erupts in multiple roses all at once at the end of that cane. So, I mean, high root teas are the sexy ones. They get all the claim to fame, but really, Floribundas are better in the landscape for showmanship.
Mm-hmm. There's one out there, another Floribunda called Arctic Blue.
Ooh.
And I'm like, well, why is it called Arctic Blue? It's not blue. And I still don't know why they call it Arctic Blue. But when it first, the bud forms, it's a really dark purple.
Oh.
And then it kind of lightens
up. You mean
up.
Blue.
Okay. And as it progresses, it opens and ages, it turns from dark purple to white. It's finally white at the end.
Wow. That's kind of stunning.
And it's a Floribunda, too. It's really, really pretty. Just great. It's a new one out this year. It's actually a new
Generally, blues are more fragrant as well. So
really pretty. The other one that really caught my eye out there was called Cashmere. It was a deep, beautiful, rich red and just a really full blossom. And I think it's actually a shrub rose, so it's grown on its own rootstock. It's part of our Easy Elegance series of roses, but just absolutely gorgeous. I was like, I want to cut all those buds off and bring them in right now.
Yeah.
Cheryl's like, no, leave them be.
You should mention the Easy Elegance series. We've got an entire new series of shrub roses in that are really easy And they're elegant. They're truly what they say. And there's no special prune. They self-prune themselves. Mm-hmm. They repeat bloom on their own wood. If you get a harsh winter and they get nipped back to the ground, they come back true to their name.
Right. And they're usually very disease resistant.
Very. I mean, black spot, mildew, bugs, they don't worry about that.
Right.
Whereas your hybrid teas and some of these others, they do. They're more, you need to be a gardener to grow those.
Yeah. One other quick one I want to mention was called Top Gun. It's more of a single old fashioned, but really pretty red and crazy disease resistant. There again, it's one of the newer varieties out.
Yeah.
Really, really.
If you've been afraid to grow roses before, there's so many new varieties, and we've got experts that know. We're famous for our roses that we grow. Come talk to us. We can show you how to actually put together a stunning rose garden or just a stunning rose in the front of your gardens that are so easy to grow with. So, Lisa, thank you for featuring the roses here at Waters Garden Center. Be right back.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com.
You're the area with your dream home on the inside, but surrounded by boring? A castle surrounded by rock is just so bland, but we can help.
At Waters, we have a team of plant experts ready to dress up and decorate even the most boring of landscapes with something fresh, new, and evergreen.
Plus, we deliver and plant for you.
Designer plants with the experts to help you beautify your new abode.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Hi, Lisa here with the plants of the week and our dwarf blue plumbago.
If you can't grow blue plumbago, it's time to move to the city.
This perennial ground cover is quick to spread and puts up with a lot of abuse from dry soil to neglect.
The peacock blue flowers are held wide and very prominent against the small bronzy green foliage.
Grows in any kind of garden, all for $11.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love easy perennials, they love to shop.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Now, this is such a good time to be adding, if you want some edible plants in the yard, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, currants, gooseberries, grapes, fruit trees. I mean, this is a very, very good time to be adding those into the yard, into the landscape, into your gardens. And so my grapes have been going. They've put on probably 4 or 5 feet of growth just in the last month. It's amazing how fast they're growing. They love this summer heat. They were struggling with all that cold. They don't like cool soil. They like the soil to be warm. Then they start taking off. It's truly a Mediterranean plant. It likes the heat. And so now's a time when you really want to plant a grape. This is the time when you want to plant a new grapevine, whether it's a wine grape or an edible table grape, a Thompson seedless, a Candace, or whatever it is, greens, reds, whatever grape. It's now's the time. The other little secret I can give you with grapes, it's just what I'm doing with mine. I fertilize them real heavy in the spring of the year, trying to get them to wake up early. It was to no help because it was just so cold through May. It just didn't make any difference. I guess it did. When it warmed up, they really started pushing growth now. Now, I'm not going to fertilize them very much now. I want them to slow down. So I want to hold them back. And so there, I'll kind of nitrogen starve them until they start setting those grape clusters, and then I can go ahead and fertilize them again. But that's a little insider tip that I can help you with. So many times folks add too much manures and nitrogen to their grapes, and they get all this tremendous growth, but they don't get the fruit set that they really want, or the clusters are very small. The secret is, as they elongate and they've got all this foliage, then nitrogen starve them. So don't feed them high, especially chemical-based fertilizers. 21-00, it's all nitrogen. Oh my gosh, you're going to get so much growth. It's going to blow your mind, and no grapes whatsoever. So if you do fertilize them, give them a low nitrogen type of fertilizer. That's one tip I can give you. Second, Your blackberries and raspberries are growing equally as fast. That does not pertain to them. They actually appreciate fertilizer. They like the all-purpose, the cottonseed meal, the bird guanos. They love all that fertilizer because that new cane, that brand new arching cane coming out of a new blackberry patch or raspberry canes, those are what are going to produce the fruits, but mainly next year. So you want to get that cane as long as you can. As I mean, whether it's a thornless blackberry, a Cadbury thornless raspberry, whatever it is, get that growth as long as you can, because all up and down that cane will be covered in berries next year. There's some new varieties out, like Prime Gem. We're introducing newer varieties that will actually produce berries on this year's wood, this year's growth. That's generally unusual. What it does, it produces some berries on this year's wood, and then it produces a lot of berries next year on that same cane. That's really how these new varieties are coming in. I guess the point being, fertilize your berries, not your grapes right now. Okay, they're bottom line. There's a nutshell. And then now's a good time. This is your best time. It's better to plant grapes and berries now while it's warm. They prefer it when the soil is warm. You'll get better growth, better take. The exception would be, well, not the exception. It's a good time to plant blueberries. But they are more eccentric. They're more difficult. It takes a gardener to grow blueberries. Now, you folks in the Midwest go, well, they grew wild where we were at, up and down the along the roadside. We just go and pick blueberries. Well, you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. This is not the way it plays out here. Blueberries do not like dry. They don't like dry soil. They don't like dry air. They don't like alkaline water or alkaline soils. Well, those are all they don't like wind. Those are all the things we have. With those, I've had very good luck with blueberries, and here's my secret with those. I don't plant them in the ground. I've tired of watching them go yellow, struggling with all the alkalinity. Your water is the enemy with blueberries. Blackberries, they love it. Raspberries are great. Grapes just thrive on our water and our soil. Put them right in the ground. They'll do great. Blueberries, our water is so alkaline, every time you water with a drip system or with a hose, it starts to turn that water more and more alkaline, and they just start to yellow. They'll drop their fruits. They just look wispy and thin, and they're struggling. You can tell they're anemic, and you're going, what's wrong with you? What I found is I had great luck by planting them in containers or in raised beds. There I can load up the soil where they're going to be planted in with potting soil. A good potting soil, well, the main ingredient, the most expensive ingredient, is peat moss. Peat moss is very acidic, and so you can counteract all of that alkaline water just by surrounding the roots with peat moss. And a good potting soil drains really well, and so all those minerals that gather up in your water, the soil is able to flush that out better. With that, your berries grow better. They keep their green, almost a green-blue state, and they'll produce larger fruits for you. That's the insider tip that I can give you with blueberries specific. I don't think you have to worry about currants, gooseberries, grapes, raspberries, blackberries, any of those, any kind of fruit tree. It's not, don't even worry about it. It's mainly those blueberries. That, and I've got to get something off my chest. You poor folks from California, listen to me. Don't turn off. Wait. I'm not putting you down. I love Californians. They're good for business. They buy a lot of houses and pay cash. They got money to put nice landscapes in, not cheesy landscapes that are cheap and on the nickel and dime. There, you're putting nice stuff in. But folks, you cannot plant an avocado here. It doesn't winter over. Stop asking me for avocados. We don't grow citrus in the mountains of Arizona. That's a desert thing. You're not in the desert. You're up in the mountains where you're surrounded by pine forests and junipers. Stop asking me for Meyer lemons. That seems to be the theme this week. So they don't grow here. They go, well, they grew where I came from. I'm going, well, I know where you came from just by the question you asked. Plant an apple. They do better here than they ever dreamed of where you came from. Plant a pear. Plant a peach, a cherry, not an avocado or a citrus. They just don't grow up here. They'll do fine through the summer. But come this winter in January, they're going to collapse. Really, by November, they're going to collapse and die, and they will never think of coming back to life again as long as you – they just won't. The winter will kill them. Citrus will go down to about mid-20s if you're lucky. By high 20s, they're starting to really suffer. By low 20s, they are officially dead. Well, we got down to single digits in the mountains, most of the mountain regions. And this is even you folks in Payson, Kingman, Cortis Junction, I'd say Camp Verde, Cottonwood, Sedona. You don't grow citrus. It just gets too cold for all of us once you get up above 2,500 feet. It's going to get too cold. Well, that's most of us. And so just realize where you're at and what's going to produce better. That's where you really want to tour the garden center. You want to physically, don't shoot an email because you'll get some short, curt answer going, too lazy to even get off their desk to even ask the right question. So usually I'll be real short, yes, we've got those. Grow peaches, donk, and I'll shoot it off. Visit for more. And then I've got 20 different varieties of peaches. Come on. You want to walk the line and tour it and see. That's especially trees. Those you really want to – a tree is typically – our trees at Waters Garden Center, they're all of fruiting age. They're on average 7 to 15 years old. They will all fruit right in the racks. Well, you've put 10 years of energy into this tree to get it to grow. You don't want to buy a dog-legged or broken-branched or something curled. You want it to be a nice, straight, thick trunk, nice scaffolding and branching to it. It should. You really want to put the energy and your money into your trees. You don't want to give that off to your landscaper or your gardener. You want to go with them, or you want to go hand-pick it yourself. They go, my gardener will be by to pick it up, you know, on Thursday. You want to handpick your trees. Shrubs, I mean, less care, doesn't matter as much. But a shrub, a really handsome, good-looking, full shrub, still that's only 3-4 years old. A really young shrub. The cheap shrubs are just this year. So you've got room to – you've got time to correct an ugliness to that. But a tree, once a tree is ugly, it stays that way. It never grows its way out of it. So handpick not just your fruit trees – your shade trees, your evergreens, hand-pick those so you know what you're getting when it goes in the ground. Be right back.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.
Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our gold dust rosemary.
You're guaranteed to be the only gardener in the neighborhood with this new variety rosemary in gilded edges of gold.
Striking when spilling over raised beds and pots.
Loves the heat generated against driveways and bright courtyards.
Same zesty culinary delight in a colorful twist for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new culinary herbs, they love to shop.
Hi, Lisa here with the plants of the week and our dwarf blue plumbago.
If you can't grow blue plumbago, it's time to move to the city.
This perennial ground cover is quick to spread and puts up with a lot of abuse from dry soil to neglect.
The peacock blue flowers are held wide and very prominent against the small bronzy green foliage.
Grows in any kind of garden, all for $11.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love easy perennials, they love to shop.
You've tuned in to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Okay, I probably blew it last segment. I apologize. I did not mean, I got on my soapbox and got a little riled from this week's customers coming in, asking silly questions sometimes, but I didn't mean to put Californians down. It's not just you all. I find East Coast folks, I can put them down too. They want their mountain landscape to look East Coast-like. I mean, more boxwood, more, well, they some of those like Weigelia, they don't like the sun like they did back there. Japanese maples, they don't like the full sun. They did back there. They don't like it here. They like the shade. So you really want to do some homework. And you want to verify where you're getting your information from. If you just check Google, well, that's a great source. But not from New York City. It's better to find a local gardener, local blogger, local someone that's doing gardening here that's actually sharing information here. Hopefully that's why you're tuned into this show. So we're sharing, this is local Arizona garden tips, the mountains, high elevations. These are my garden tips is what I'm doing in my gardens myself. I'm just sharing those. And so it's hard to come up with an hour show every week. Oh my gosh. I'm just sharing with top of mind what I've been doing in my own gardens, what I'm planting, what I'm doing. And so hopefully that will translate to some success in your garden. Gardening is not 100% always going forward in the right direction. Sometimes you do go backwards. You have to start over again. My goal with this is if you do make a mistake, at least you're making a mistake in the right direction. You're going forward. You're never going backwards 100%. You might be going off a little bit, but you can correct and bring things back around. And these are living, breathing things, plants. And so you have to work with them. So that's some things. We do go into detail with that. Right now, we've got garden classes starting up. And so please come. They're free. They're made to up your game so you're just better right away. Next week, we've got a class on animals. How do you deal with javelina? You didn't have those. They're a southwestern phenomena. Deer, rabbits, antelope. That's a southwest phenomena. So we've got, how do you deal with that? So how do you deal with animals coming into your gardens? What plants do they not eat? How do you keep them out? That kind of stuff. Repellents we'll go over, that kind of stuff. The next week, that's Friday the 28th, animal-resistant plants. What's eating your garden? July 6th, that's a Saturday at 9:30. It's containers that bloom like crazy. Lisa will teach that class. She's got a flair for container gardens. She's got that floral. She made her way through college as a florist. Well, that translates very well to great style in your containers. Then July 12th, I'll probably teach that class. That's a Friday at 3:30. It's juicier fruits, grapes, and berries. And what we kind of went over last segment, but how hands-on. Here are the varieties, and here's why you want to plant this one. Here's how you plant a grape, a blackberry, a raspberry, a fruit tree. Go over into detail. July 20th, easy growing roses. How do you get more flowers? This is great rose country. They love summer. This is when they should be rock stars in the gardens. They should be in full bloom. Here's how you get the most blooms out of them. So that entire class series, the whole summer series is there. It's at watersgardencenter.com. Please take a look and come. It's free. At the very front, you'll see classes. There's a green button that just says hit that and boom, all the classes will be there. For those of you that follow us on Facebook, love that. There's like 9,000 of you. Thank you. Please follow us. We post those. This week we've been posting the latest, gardening for newcomers. That class schedule is just solidified. It's there. It's under events. So the tabs, you folks that know how to use Facebook, there's events tab. That's where all the things that are happening. And then a personal invite. The 30th of June, Lisa and I host a Grapes for Grades fundraiser after hours here at the Garden Center. There is a fee for that one, but all the money goes to the kids, the POSD Math and Reading Clinic. Their summer program. We fund that entire thing with this event, June 30th, Grapes for Grades, 5 to 8. Tickets are $50. It's the greatest garden party you'll go to all season. It's just fun. Anyway, throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. Please, we love helping fans of the show or just friends in the garden.
In a new place, it's difficult to know who to trust, how to get help at the house, and which nursery will simply do what they say they'll do.
At Waters Garden Center, we're here to help, in the landscape at least.
Our team of plant ambassadors know your neighborhood, the plants that add color, increase privacy, and add fragrance and beauty.
And we can show you exactly how to plant locally, or we have teams to do all the work for you.
We are Ken and Lisa Lane, and we guarantee our plants will live up to every promise here at Waters Garden Center. If you want a more fruitful garden, increase success in your landscape that just feels better, then tune in every week to The Mountain Gardener. Years of tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts are guaranteed to make your gardens nicer than ever. Listen to this podcast or read Ken's weekly garden column by visiting watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Thanks for tuning in.